Now, I'm sorry we got a little late start this morning, but nevertheless, we still have a good bit of time for to go through this lesson, and what we want to talk about this morning is kind of short and to the point, hopefully. And with you all's participation, it still will be great. What I want to talk about is our heavenly home. It seems kind of ironic that was when I came up with it, and this was before I had even talked with Jerry. But when we think about building something, like you want to get a house built, you want to add on to your house that you already have, you want to get any type of building except for maybe a she shed. Sometimes you can just get a she shed already put together, or you need to just have it transported to where you wanted it. But a house where you want to dwell in, it takes something. You know, you have to get some materials. And the most favorite place to go to is where? Home Depot. Or Lowe's. Right. Because that's the place that has all the building materials, right? And we want the best materials that we can get to do the job so it would last. Well, in John chapter 14 and verse number, we got here in verse number 14:2. Somebody like to read that. This is Jesus talking to his disciples.
It says, "My Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going there to prepare a place for you."
Okay. So Jesus lets us know, or at least he let his disciples know, but it also applies to us too, that he's going away to prepare a place for all of us, his disciples, us, and those that follow behind us. Now, when we want to build our house here on this earth, we want the finest materials, so we go to the best place. Consider Jesus preparing our place. What would it look like? Today, even as we live and speak, he's in preparation of preparing our home, our heavenly home. And he says he's going to prepare it, and there are many mansions there. Now, what kind of attention do you think is being made to the supplies that he's using? We know here on Earth, our supplies, we're going to look at the lumber, the concrete, the nails. Then we want lavish furnishings, different types of windows, and different types of couches, and even to the faucets. Certain types of faucets you want to have to make it look really nice and pretty, especially in the bathroom. You know, we always like to have a nice bathroom. But consider the type of mansion that Jesus is building for us and what it's going to have. The substance that he is going to use, where is it going to come from? Now, what he did to prepare for our travel to get to our heavenly home, the supplies he used was a rough cross, rusty nails, and a crumpled mess of thorns. Trying to say it right, thorns. This is what he used for our transportation from this life to the next, to our heavenly home. Those substances is what he used of that time period to save us from eternal death. Now, when we think along them lines, what kind of supplies do you think you would need to use for to make our eternal home? We think about things that he would use to make our home. It would be, he would have to use our humility that we have, our generosity that we exhibit, our charity that we use, and our love. This is a supply that we give to him because, I don't know if any of you ever heard it or not, but it's a song that circulates. It's called Sending Up My Timber, which it tells of you sending up your timber in heaven, to heaven, for to build your heavenly home. Well, in a sense, these are materials which is essential for our eternal home, which is the same as our timber. What Christ is going to be using is how we live today. He gives us instructions as to how we should live so that he can use these things to make our home. How do we come up with that? Well, like I said, based on what he used for our transportation, how else do we leave this life to go to the next? We leave, although we're not going to be on a cross, but Christ paved the way, and this way he was on the cross. The nails that put him on that cross, the crown of thorns that he wore on his head, not to mention the lashes that he took for us for the sins that we committed and the humiliation that he went through. But he paved the way so that we don't have to go through all that, but we still will end up in the same place that he is at, which is in heaven, to spend eternity with him. Now, when we look at these things that I just mentioned, our humility, generosity, charity, love, this is what's going to be equivalent to the type of home that we have there and the way in which we live today and what we do. How do we come up with that? Because of the instructions and the example that Christ laid for us while we were here on this earth. How he taught us to live, what he taught us to do, how he taught us to get along with each other. It wasn't just something he was telling us while he was here. When he left us, he told his disciples that he was the way, and no man comes unto the Father but by him. So this is the example that he laid before us. This is the example that we have to take in order to be with him. Now, if we look at, let's turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 27 through 30. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 27 to 30. Someone has that?
Huh?
Except that someone has that.
You said Corinthians 1:27?
1 Corinthians chapter 1, okay. Verse 27 through 30. I'm sorry, if I didn't say chapter 1, I meant to say chapter 1.
I probably said it wrong.
No problem. All
right, so it's, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world, right?
Mm-hmm.
To confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound things which are mighty, and base things of the world. I'm sorry. And base things of the world, and things which are despised, hath God chosen. Yea, and things which are not to bring to naught things that are. That no flesh should glory in his presence, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption.
Okay. In those verses, it tells us what God is looking for and what He uses. The common things, as we would call it, the common people, the simple way of life, along with the way in which we are supposed to live that Jesus taught us, along with also for our learning the commandments that were given to the Israelites, that still is an example to us. But these things, which people that is, let's say people that are of stature, people that are in a hold a high office, God didn't choose those people because He didn't want it to be said it was because you have to reach this status for to be chosen by God, to be one of God's people. He didn't choose people that had plenty of money and dressed real fine all the time because He didn't want people to think that we have to be like that in order to get to heaven. But He also showed that through the simple people, as people of that stature and that caliber will look at the lower class people and call them simple people, which means poor people in a sense, or common people, or people that are not of stature. These are the people that God looks at and chooses to be His people. Where did Christ come from? Where did all of His disciples come from? Fishermen. They did have a doctor. He was a doctor. They had one that was really despised, the tax collector. We end up with one that was a thief, Judas. He even used him with his betrayal. But they all preached Christ. They all followed Christ. They all made a difference. And they paved the way for salvation. One other that came along, Paul. He was a prosecutor. One that goes around with prosecuting Christians. And God used him to turn him around. People like to say, you do the 360. The 360 is a complete circle. The 180 is a turnaround from where you were going to go the other direction. And He chose Paul. Yes.
Now, you let on track on that because it's amazing how God, how Christ used all these men for His purpose. We all have a purpose here.
Yes. So,
right here. Whether we want to accept it or not, we have a purpose. Over my years, I've seen a lot of things in church. Good and some bad. But it never deterred me to leave the church because I felt God had a purpose in a place for me. Maybe I could help the church.
Right.
You know. Yeah, but they're very important. We all have an important part to play.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do. And we shouldn't feel like because we don't have this, we don't have that, I can't speak like this one, I can't preach like that one, I can't sing like this one. This finger can't do what the thumb does. Neither can it do what the pointer finger do. You can't point with the little finger because people do tend to look at you like, what's wrong? Why you try to use that finger? You know? I mean, and when you pick up things, you need that thumb to kind of hold it all together. You can't hold it together with that second finger. You know, you got to have that thumb. But it's still all part of the hand.
Yeah.
To make it work. And God uses us all, because when we come together, we're from different walks of life. We're from different walks of life, but we're all going to the same place in the same direction. And yes, we have stumbling blocks and falls, because remember that God is always out there. Like, we're out here throwing, sowing seeds. We got this other guy that's out there throwing tacks and digging potholes and then covering it over with a little hay and stuff for you to. It's not really deep, just enough for you to trip over, you know. This guy's busy all the time, too. But as a group, we're still moving forward. And when someone stumbles, the other one, the asshole, pick them up, and let's keep going. That's what we do. But we don't look down on each other because of who we are. And that's why God picks different people of lower stature to let you know you don't have to be special. You just have to accept the word. But we all have a choice. Even the higher up, higher class people, so to speak, they got the same choice that we have as lower class people. When I say lower class, I'm talking about, I can't really call a name because I don't associate with them. But somebody like Bill Gates, you know, you've all heard of him. He's supposed to have a lot of money, you know. So I heard. But I don't associate with him. Nothing wrong with him. I just don't have that kind of money to associate with him. But he still has the same choice that I have to accept Christ. Because he's going to go either one place or the other. I'm on the road to try to go to heaven. Hopefully he is too. Of course, when he gets there, it's not going to matter whether or not I've got a checkbook, because I won't need a checkbook. And it's not going to matter whether he has his, because he's not going to need his either. But the point I'm trying to get over is the fact that how God chooses and why he chooses. So we can't boast about what we got, what we did, what we accomplished. We are all one people in God's eyesight. Let's look at Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 to 21. Matthew chapter 6.
Do not lay up for yourselves treasure on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. Lay up yourselves treasure in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also.
Okay. Christ is telling us here in plain English, the last part, which is the most important, I'll start with before we go to the first part. Where your treasures are, that's where your heart will be also. Now, he says, go back to the first part. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures upon this earth. Because why? We're not going to stay here very long. We're going to be here for a short time. And yes, we do need some treasures here on this earth while we're here. But, man, I don't know about you guys, but I can admit to the fact my wife and I have been married, seems like it was yesterday. but it's been a good number of years. You know, I'm not even going to tell you how many years it is, but it's irrelevant. It's irrelevant. I can't even say it. It's not important. We still together though. But it's been a good number of years. But I believe she can attest to the same thing. when we started out, we were just like any young couple starting out. We didn't have much of nothing. But we were more happy then than we are now sometimes. Because we got more responsibilities and more things to worry about now because of the treasures that we have accumulated along the way. You know, we worry about somebody taking what little bit we do have. We worry about whether or not we're going to use it the right way. We worry about keeping it, you know, for what we might, they want to pass on to someone else, friend or family. And what seems valuable to us may not seem valuable to them. I remember a time when my mom moved out of the house that she was living in, and my brother and I were helping her get stuff out, and my brother was just kicking stuff, throwing it down the stairs, and my mom was, stop throwing my stuff like that. I've had this since before you was a baby, and I had this back in this calling the years. And my brother was saying, but Mom, you're not going to use it now. You don't need it no more. She was very upset because it was very valuable to her. But it didn't mean nothing to him. Same way it's going to be when we get to the gates of heaven. Our treasures that we have here on this earth is not going to mean nothing then. What's going to be most important is how we go in. And that we do go in. That's why Christ says, store up your treasures in heaven. Mm-hmm. And where your treasures are, that's where your heart will be also. There's going to be many people that when the day of reckoning comes, they're going to be crying for a second chance just to do this, just to do that. Let me change this, let me change that. But you have your opportunity today while we're still living. You have your choice as to how you want to build your eternal home. So hopefully the essence of this lesson is to get us to concentrate more on setting up our temple and how do we live in this day and age, because this is what's going to be very important for us when we get to our eternal home. Sometimes it's hard to show humility, especially when you don't receive it. As the, I think it's the golden rule, do unto others as you would like them to do unto you. Some people say, do unto others as they do unto you. The correct way is what you would show people respect that you would like to get. But the world would be great if that was to happen, but somebody's got to be the example. Somebody's got to set the way. That's part of our responsibility as Christians. And it's nice when you greet someone and you say, good morning, and they say, good morning. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. When you say, good morning, and they just walk on past you, and then you want to say, I said, good morning. That's not something that Christ would do, but we want to make sure that they heard me be polite. But they heard you. So we got to do it like Christ said. You say, hey, how you doing? Something wrong? Got something on your mind that I can help you with? And then they start telling you, and you think to yourself, oh, Lord, why did I say that? Because you really didn't want to hear it. But you have to put this in your heart. Sometimes it only takes a moment. Sometimes you have to extend yourself. But that's the cross that we bear. That's us being Christians. And if we don't exhibit our Christianity, who else will? So that's my lesson this morning. I hope you all get something out of it as well as myself.
Thank you.
All right. I might have finished a little early, but we started a little late, so I don't want to bore you. Thank you all.